Welcome to the Early Childhood On The Go podcast, where the Early Childhood Center team shares ideas and strategies for professionals and families. Dream big. Start early.
Welcome to the Early Childhood On The Go podcast. My name is Kayla O'Neill, and today we're going to be talking about the best practices for early intervention and early childhood educators to support the mental well-being of parents and caregivers. We're recording live today from the Early Childhood Center here at the Indiana Institute on Disability and Community in Bloomington, Indiana. And I am so excited to have a special guest today, Nancy Simmons. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hi, Kayla. Thanks for having me. I am an occupational therapist, and I work in early intervention and First Steps, and came from Southern Illinois, where I practiced in early intervention for over 20 years. I also am a mom to three kiddos who are all adopted. And that's just kind of setting the tone for where my personal and professional experience comes from with regard to this topic. And just have a, you know, just a personal interest in mental well-being, mental health, and how caregiver mental health can impact the overall development of children.
I think it's such an important topic, especially I see it a lot now as I work in early intervention doing home visits, especially after COVID. I feel like we've seen more parents struggling with this. And I think it, as an early intervention provider, there's often times where when I go into a home, I will be the only other person, only other adult that parent sees for weeks at a time. And we are coming, you know, where things are starting to go back to, I guess, normal. But I think it's just something that's so important for us to talk about.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head right from the gate here. It's all about connection and connection with others as adults, as, you know, adult caregivers, providing services as an early intervention provider. We connect with our families on an intimate level. It's all about that connection piece, and that creates, from that connection, then rises up relationships.
And I feel like working in early childhood, I don't feel like, when I look back at my school or a lot of the training that I did, this wasn't a huge part of what I learned about. So I feel like I'm needing the information on what to look for, what can I do to support? Because it's not really embedded, at least when I trained a while ago.
Yeah, I would totally agree. For sure, that was the situation for me. I've always talked about the whole self, you know, being an occupational therapist and our framework surrounding occupational science, we really do focus on the whole person. But as far as like how to do that, those strategies, that's not something that, you know, until the neuroscience that's been coming out, I'd say in the last 5 years, has really supported that. You know, so now we're getting some research on those strategies and what's some best practices to use in our professions.
What's one thing that you wish you had known at the start of your early intervention career about supporting mental health of caregivers?
So I think just to kind of tag to what we just talked about, you know, the importance of adult caregiver well-being, how important it is, and what that mental well-being has upon a child's overall development, not just social, emotional development, but their overall development.
What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I have a quote here that I wanted to share with everybody that I find really profound, and it's, our mental health journeys begin before we ever leave the womb and are bound up in the mental health of those who raise us.
Wow.
So that feels really powerful, a little bit overwhelming when I think about it as a mom.
Right, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But so, I also think there's a lot of power in that statement.
Yeah.
Power in the sense of permission. There is not only permission for us as caregivers to take care of ourselves, our whole selves, our mental well-being. But it's, you know, it's really a responsibility, and it's a gift to our children. Because, you know, when we take care of ourselves, when we model self-care, we are teaching our children that this is critical. It's an important piece for the rest of their lives. So I think that's one thing, just kind of, again, tagging back to what we talked about earlier, that I wish that I had known in the beginning of my career as an early interventionist, the importance of that piece, that, you know, again, the brain science, the neuroscience, that information we have now, it just wasn't there. We didn't understand, you know, it was, when I first came out, it was a lot of behavioral strategies,
right.
And now it's It's about the connection. It's about regulation, co-regulation, connection, and relationships.
And I think we're in such like a unique position as people working in early intervention because, you know, and I didn't realize until after I became a mom, but most of the time we're working with people that are postpartum. And there's that whole other piece that I wish I would have had more education about postpartum.
Yeah.
And how to support, because like you said, we are there, we're connecting. And there just wasn't, it's not a big piece of training, and I wish it was, now that I'm a mom that's gone through postpartum. And
I would totally agree. And, you know, I'm an adoptive mom, so I didn't have that biology sense in terms of connection in the womb. However, obviously, huge connection, huge. You know. So it doesn't matter, you know, how the babies enter your life. That importance of co-regulation. Mm-hmm. We as parents have this amazing power to be a co-regulator with our child.
Right.
You know, it's a huge sense of responsibility. And like I said, it can feel overwhelming. But at the same time, it's such an important piece that hopefully in stating that, again, I can't reiterate this enough, that it gives you permission to really focus on yourself because you are the one, you're the only one that can do that, you know.
Can you just tell us a little bit more about co-regulation?
Yeah, I'd love to. So co-regulation is this beautiful gift that, you know, all babies are born with a need to co-regulate with their caregiver. So when a baby is born, they cry. You know, they cry to indicate their needs. So what do we do as parents or caregivers? We meet those needs by picking the child up, by changing their diaper, by giving them their bottle. We're meeting their physical needs, but we're also meeting their emotional needs in that moment. So we are, you know, it's like a team. But in the same sense, we also get something back from that because when we hug, there's this beautiful, you know, neurotransmitter, oxytocin, that gets released, and so it makes us feel good. So co-regulating is just your way of co-connecting with another person. So adults co-regulate with one another. You know, you co-regulate with your significant other. You might co-regulate with your family pet. I know I use my dogs as my co-regulators. You know, whenever I need some of that feedback, I might go to my dogs. Your kids, as they get older, you're still going to continue in those co-regulation relationships. But that really, you know, kind of hopefully defines co-regulation. But you can't, one thing I want to make sure that I get across is, you know, you can't effectively co-regulate with another being unless you yourself are regulated first.
Ah, yes. That's, so, I think, the most important part. How do you think that we can help and support parents to see the importance of taking care of themselves? It's easier said than done. It's like we all know we're supposed to do it, but as a parent, I'm sure you feel the same thing depending on the situation. We don't always make it a priority, but we know. And so how can, as a, you know, as an early intervention provider, can we help them see the importance?
Yeah, that is tough, both as a person, as a mom, and as a professional who has the gift of interacting with families through the intervention program, early intervention program. The one thing I would say is that, you know, in order to care well, we as caregivers, we first got to be well. Again, easier said than done. You know, it takes intentionality on our parts to make sure that we have opportunities for that to happen. And obviously when stress is high, resources are low, then that also, you know, that creates obstacles or barriers for that, those opportunities to be well. Certainly families are, you know, nowadays are facing a lot of stressors, you know, in different capacities, and so that makes it difficult. But, you know, I think we as providers, if we can really be intentional about coaching families and coaching caregivers about understanding how critical their own well-being as a caregiver, you know, and that taking care of themselves so that is important so that they can have those healthy relationships with their child. And also, you know, we are creating neural pathways. Like, right. We are actual road architects as parents and caregivers of young children. So again, that's really great responsibility, but how exciting that to know that we have permission, we have a right to take care of ourselves so that we can create beautiful pathways for our children. So one thing that I like to talk about with families is that analogy of a pitcher, like a drink pitcher.
Okay.
So we as caregivers are constantly pouring into others. We're pouring into the lives of our children. You know, our children are kind of the cups that we're pouring into. And we can't figuratively or literally pour from an empty pitcher. Your pitcher right. has to be filled. So, you know, if you can figure out a community of people. So, again, it might be a significant other, extended family, you know, other immediate family members, friends, whomever your community of people, figure out a way for them to pour into you so that you can continually pour into your child in a healthy way. Some other things that I love to talk about, there is this eighth sensory wonder called interoception, and that is a whole cool topic that I would love to come and talk about someday.
I'll write that down.
So interoception is our internal sense of the way our body and brain make connections on the insides. So we take outside information and internalize that. So that interoception tells us things about, like, when we feel hungry, when we feel thirsty, when we feel stressed. You know, all the good things and the bad things. And so talking about what that is and being able to notice our body signals, I think that's a really important piece for caregivers and parents to think about, because a lot of us haven't even heard of interoception.
Right.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But once you have that awareness of your internal body sensations, you can then teach your child, even, you know, young children can start to notice how their body feels. And so by being able to have conversations about that, or even just notice body signals and have, you know, maybe there's gestures, or maybe you're just starting these conversations or discussions with a child, you know, it seems like you're feeling hungry, it seems like you're feeling thirsty, you know, by noticing those body signals, connecting an emotional label to that will help create those healthy opportunities, those healthy awareness opportunities, so that those needs can be met without, you know, some kind of dysregulation happening.
Right.
Not that it's going to stop it completely, but just opens up those conversations so that children can learn how to, in a beneficial, healthy way, describe what they're feeling.
That's very cool. Is that a conversation you've had with parents, talking about that and having
Absolutely.
Them to learn? That sounds like a great strategy to really talk to parents about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, speaking of the things that you're helping parents, the interception, what are some of the great resources that you found along the way that you can either, you know, that you've used yourself or that you've shared with parents or other providers?
Yeah, there's a lot of really great books, podcasts, YouTube videos, blogs, articles. You know, there's a lot of things out there about teaching the whole child, about using, you know, things that look at the whole person. So I know you're a big fan of the whole brain child.
Yes,
by
right when you said that, that's what I was
thinking about. For healthy brain development and, you know, leading to calmer, happier, healthier children. That's one of my favorite books. Mm. Kelly Mahler is an occupational therapist who really has spearheaded the work within our field with interoception. So she has developed some really great materials and resources. Again, podcasts, YouTube videos, some PD training opportunities for providers, but also some really helpful tools for families. You know, there's curriculum about how to, again, talk about interoception with very young children, you know, how to even just begin those early stages of brain-body connections and how to you know, some different activities and conversations around that. There's some really great children's books out there too. Two of my favorites are I Feel Something by E.J. Korchin and Listening to My Body by Gabby Garcia. The Listening to My Body is actually, there's a YouTube video where that book is actually read.
Oh.
So that's kind of a sweet way to introduce that. And, you know, if you don't want to purchase the book, you can just go to YouTube and watch and listen to that. And those books really talk about, again, those brain-body connections. Like, I'm feeling something internally,
right.
but then put some labels to it. And then opens up some conversations, again, with very young children about how to respond when you're feeling nervous or when you're feeling scared or upset or angry. So I like those.
I think using a, you know, children's book like that is a really kind of unique way to not only teach the child, but the parent learns too, because many
sure.
of us as children, we didn't learn that. So we have adults that are trying to be parents now that are trying to do different things that we were not taught as children.
Yeah.
And so I love that you're teaching the child, but the parent is reading that too and taking that in and learning as well, even if it, you know,
yeah,
isn't,
I totally agree.
Wasn't, you know.
And I think that's a really developmentally appropriate,
mm-hmm.
fun, cool way to introduce some of these concepts that might be a little uncomfortable for parents.
Right.
Because, you know, we're kind of getting into some vulnerable space there without, you know, hopefully it's, like I said, just a good segue that's developmentally perfect. You're reading a kid's book, you know.
Right.
And that's something that they can do together, and then you can kind of open up that dialogue.
Right.
To do some training. There's also some other fun YouTube videos. I think you maybe know about the Cosmic Kids Yoga.
Yes, I love those.
You know, so I'm a big proponent of doing a lot of brain-body work, but we'll call it fun work, because, you know, making those brain-body connections through movement. And so there's a lot of videos on there that are just tailored to very young children. Mm-hmm. And I know you've got young kids, so
right.
There's like some fun characters, you know, they're themed. And it's just a fun way to do some movement together. And that is therapeutic in and of itself.
Right.
You know, and you can talk about, oh, I feel my leg moving, it's stretching. Does it, you know, how does it feel? And you can do some different conversations around that. I'll mention a couple of other podcasts just because
yeah.
we are on a podcast. A couple that I like are The Earliest by 0 to 3. And then
oh, yes.
The Brain Architects. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
No, I have not. But the Earliest, I listened to some of those. And yeah. very great.
The Earliest really takes, they have a whole segment on mental health. Mm-hmm. And then The Brain Architects by the Center for Developing Child at Harvard University is really about the neuroscience behind a lot of this brain-based work, you know, and tying it into mental health, you know, for infant, toddler, and also for families. So I really like those two.
What advice would you give someone trying to support a parent who's struggling with stress and being able to regulate around their children?
I think the best piece of advice I can give is just a reminder that every single person gets dysregulated.
Right.
We all get dysregulated,
right.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's just how our nervous systems are wired. That's just part of what happens. And just a reminder that we as parents, kind of going back to that analogy with the pitcher as we're pouring things out, I always saw myself as like a piece of Velcro. Like, I'm pouring myself out, but I'm also taking things in and things are sticking to me. So, you know, I may be taking on the dysregulation that my own child is experiencing. Mm-hmm. And so, again, going back to some advice that are, you know, something I mentioned earlier is you've got to first regulate yourself before you can co-regulate effectively with our children. So, you know, self-care is not indulgent or selfish, regardless of what society or our own personal upbringing might tell
right.
us. But really, the best way for us to teach our own children about self-care is to model it ourselves. So thinking about your whole self, those connections between the brain-body pieces, you know, the taking that all into consideration and how important and critical these formative years are, being sure that you are allowing self-compassion for yourself, mm-hmm. making sure that you're giving yourself some grace, you know, that helps in your caregiving role, but also filling up your own pitcher. And I mentioned community earlier, but also
right.
can be things like sleep. And I know that's hard, especially when your littles are very little, but, you know, sleep, taking a shower, you know, washing your face. I mean, sometimes it's just as simple as in the moment, okay, I need this. You know, 30 seconds. I can
right.
wash my face really quick. I can
yeah.
put on some hand cream. I can...
Music was a big one.
Music, yes.
Putting in headphones if I'm feeling dysregulated. Like, music is one thing that
yes.
you can do it around the kids. Like,
yes.
Yes, you need that separate time, but when you don't have, you know, support where you can't go somewhere else, you know, what are those things that you can do in the moment? Music has always been the one that I went to.
Yeah, and one thing I really like to talk to families about, and this is kind of getting into the weeds and details of neuroscience, but there is a lot of conversation in just the general public now, and I love that this is out there, is talking about neurotransmitters,
mm-hmm.
you know, and happy hormones and how we can kind of hack into our systems naturally. So I mentioned oxytocin earlier, you know, that's the cuddle hormone. So just hugging, you know,
right.
hugging your child, hugging your significant other, hugging your pet, you know, that gentle, caring touch. That is a good way to kind of do some self-care for yourself. If that's not your thing, serotonin, that's kind of that mood transmitter that, you know, we get through sunlight, making sure we're eating good things.
Yes.
Exercise certainly, you know, can tie into that. But again, it doesn't have to be exercise, like physical exercise.
No.
Dance. I love dancing. I love doing that with my kids. We've always done that since we were little or since they were little. And then singing out loud, things like that. Dopamine, that's that pleasure neurotransmitter, you know, you can kind of do a dopamine hack by just setting up a small goal, some sort of small thing, you know, I don't know what it might be. It might be taking a shower. It might be washing your face. But once you have that kind of designated in your mind and you do it, you get that hit of that feel-good neurotransmitter. And then endorphins, you know, and that comes again from that physical play, that physical activity. So it doesn't have to be a big thing to fill your pitcher, but figure out what works for you. And you know what, if you as an occupational therapist have a family that is open to having some discussions like this, you know, that's part of what we do, you know, in teaching families how to best care for their child. We can work with them, work with the caregivers, the parents, on ways that would work best for them.
Right. What is one myth that you'd like to debunk about supporting mental health as an early childhood educator?
Well, that kind of ties into my last comment. You know, I think that there has been this myth that's not really part of our scope of practice. Mm, you know, yeah. That we're there to treat the child.
You know.
We didn't have the training, and then we're just there to treat the child. But, you know, that really, I want to encourage providers, you know, just as a reminder, Division of Early Childhood Best Practices really supports families' functional and their, you know, functional relationships. We're there to strengthen family-child relationships and to promote the child's social-emotional development. So when you have that knowledge of this neuroscience background, that parents and caregivers have this huge impact in the critical formative years, you know, in a child's early years, those neurological pathways, they being formed, that has a lifelong impact on the future health of the child. So I think that, again, hopefully will give providers permission to dig a little deeper with families that are comfortable with that, you know, and just really using that coaching model, you know, teamwork model to facilitate those positive parent-child interactions.
Well, this is so important, Nancy. Thank you so much for coming to today and discussing how to support the mental well-being of parents and caregivers. It was so nice to chat with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love talking about this topic.
Thank you all for tuning in to the Early Childhood On The Go podcast, and we hope that you will join us next time.
Thanks for listening to the Early Childhood On The Go podcast from the Early Childhood Center team at Indiana University. Learn more at iidc.indiana.edu/ECC.